some of those too.
Yeah.
I like that.
Okay, so I'd go ahead and like to go ahead and call us back to order here. It is 11:06. Just for an additional housekeeping opportunity, I would again request if you're going to talk, try to get as close to the microphone as possible so we can pick it up for the record. Lunch will be here around 11:30. If we're still in discussion, we can break once lunch gets here. Or if we're really good in discussion and you feel like you want to get that thing wrapped up, the lunch can be obviously put off. Okay, we'll turn it back over to Naomi.
So up on the display, you will see we're beginning with priority three, and we have a beginning balance of $302,593.
Good job.
I knew it was coming. I knew it was coming.
So, looking at the information you've got in front of you, the scores, again, are application completion driven. They were filled in behind the scenes. There was no subjectivity to them. It also includes the scores that your individual acts looked at with the six statutory considerations. You had three questions that were agree, disagree, or somewhat agree. Not in that order. I apologize. And then you had three other statutory considerations. One of them was based off of the amount of money that the applicant could put in, the timeliness of the application, and whether or not they could certify that the airport would remain open for 20 years, or how long the project would be viable for. So, with that being said, you can look at priority three, and the top three applications for priority three, LeGrand Union County Airport, Tillamook Project, and the Sun River Project, bring the total to a potential
$329,000. We would be over the balance. We would be at $329,893.
However, we do anticipate a couple of applications funding, once we get to agreement, a little bit less than they're asked because we know that some of them have started.
In so, priority one and two?
In priority one.
And so I think it's important, Mr. Knight, before I get to your question, I think it's important to re-articulate what Heather said. In the grant agreement process, we will more accurately identify the amount of money in the Federal Aviation AIP projects, and as she stated, bring that money into the economic development, and as stated, if there's money to fund additional projects beyond what the recommendation is here today, being a full project, not a partial project, staff will make that recommendation. So, Mr. Knight.
So can the committee make recommendations to reduce the amounts of grants to spread the $300,000 amongst more applicants rather than we're going to end up funding one and a half or two?
Unfortunately, not for this process, because the way the application, similar to Connect Oregon, there would be no guarantee that they could do half of a project or a portion of a project. So they'd probably have to start all over. We can look into discussions for a rule update maybe later, but I don't see that being able to work.
The drawback with that, similar to Connect Oregon, is now you're asking the airport owner or sponsor to go back and commit more money at basically the last minute that they've already submitted their application. And if you don't do that for everybody,
right,
you're really applying a very narrow standard of one or two projects and maybe discriminating against them.
Mr. Casey and Mr. Tillman.
If I'm understanding Heather correctly, I think it's real important that we go down several places, maybe 8 or 10, mm-hmm, and get our priority with what we really believe in, because there could be enough extra money to bump down a little bit further than what we think. Definitely the top three would probably make it with additional money coming to the table. We need to go beyond that.
And the whole list needs to be vetted, so we don't come have a need to come back if yes. there was money that shook loose. We really need the ties to be broken throughout. Yes, and to get back to Bern, there could be additional funding open. We're going to fund that if we can.
Mr. Pope, Mr. Blay, and it looks like Mr. Cover.
So my question about the top three, is it possible, and I see us do this in other grant areas, other modes, where we can reduce the overall amount to an applicant with the caveat that as additional dollars come in, we'll float that level back to fully fund their grant request. So again, if you look at just the top three and you look at the percentage of match, my look at that would be that Sun River has the smallest amount, perhaps reducing their funding amount by the differential here, and then with the caveat that it will be fulfilled if there are additional dollars. Is that legal? Can we do that?
We wouldn't be able to do that. The cycle that would completely change the rules as the applicants filled out their applications. So, unfortunately, no.
Ms. Lynn.
Yeah, I wanted to talk a little bit about Lake County Airport emergency generator installation, and it's a safety issue, and I think it was expressed as a safety issue in the application. And I was looking at the priority two, which is safety, and we ranked. There's two of them that are ranked, well, three of them in priority two that's ranked actually smaller than Lake County Airport at 171 versus ranked 152 and 297s. And I was just wondering, I think that Lake County Airport ought to move up there into either right under category, maybe moved up into category two, because it is an emergency power generator that light flies in there at night, and if the lighting fails, then it's a safety issue. So I was just going to point that out, that it actually ranks safety wise maybe better than some of them in priority two.
And I think we'll note that for the record. Again, speaking to what we looked at for the Oregon Resilience Plan Priority 2, on page 129 of the Oregon Resilience Plan, we're talking about Lake County Airport specifically?
Yeah, Lake County.
So Lake County Airport is not presently identified in the Oregon Resilience Plan. So those are conversations I think that we can ask Dr. Schweiger to work on. As we have these conversations for the resiliency thing. I will state that we did have applicants that believed that they should be considered for the Oregon Resilience Plan, and because we wanted to remain consistent across the program, we did ask them to reapply under economic development based off of those airports presently identified in the Oregon Resilience Plan. So
let me expand on that a little bit. The statute is worded so that we have to use the resiliency plan made airports.
Right.
And so that's been a problem. I don't necessarily agree with that, but we're bound by the statute. What we're doing now is working with Mike Harriman and the OEM folks to see if we can't get more airports designated as resiliency airports. That's the classic airport that ought to be considered as part of the resiliency plan. It's clearly going to do that.
And then to expand on that, what this committee could then do is further adopt a rule that goes into more detail on what this committee wants to specifically fund through that pot. There may be, working with OEM or whatever, you have a list of certain items that you want to see, then you would bring that to the board for discussion. We could go down that route.
And I'd like to point out a sentence in the Oregon Resilience Plan. I think this is important for further discussion. This is something we looked at. So on page 130, at the bottom, note, we did not consider the eastern airports in this particular scenario, as those airports are expected to sustain minimal damage. So while they're not expecting them to have any issues, they didn't consider them as part of the Oregon Resilience Plan. And that's a conversation, again, as this develops in the future that we're going to discuss it.
And that could be another statutory tweak, because there are emergencies that happen in eastern Oregon that are unrelated to tsunamis or Cascadia, forest fire preparation, or prevention and preparation, those kind of things. Or they could become the airports that are go-to airports in the event of a Cascadia. Redmond's already like that. There may be others that would be resiliency responders as opposed to resiliency victims.
Is our goal to break the ties again on this page, isn't it? Is that the major deal? And the one that he's talking about is tied based on the safety issue along with economic development. I think it ought to break the tie with the one right under it, Crater Lake. Sorry, Linda. Are you still on?
I am still on, yes.
I'm sorry about that.
That's okay, Jim.
So, Bern, I think we'll get there in just a second. I did have Mr. Covert, if you had a comment or a question.
Yeah, I was just curious if, thank you,
if someone drops out or they're not, something happens to their program and they're not able to use the grants that they were awarded, I guess it's important that in three that we have them in order, so if they're willing that they can have that.
Absolutely.
Okay, it won't go to the next year then.
No.
Okay, good.
Not if it happens during the agreement stage, then it will stay in this year. If it happens during the project, it'll go into next year.
Thank you.
So, Ms. Bailey, I had three hands. Ms. Bailey, Mr. Pope, and Mr. Cook.
I just want to clarify that the score that is on the priority three airport projects is not, we have no ability to judge within priority three which projects we feel are of greater value. The score rules, so the order they're in is the order that they're in. Is that correct?
Other than breaking the tie.
Other than tie breaking. And so I guess that would be a comment for future consideration is, it seems to me that I went through and wrote down a lot of the priority three projects are actually infrastructure or safety, sometimes combination with economic development, sometimes not. It's just, you know, I want to pay my rent. And so I don't know if it's possible to have a change to the rules where there might be consideration given to infrastructure or safety projects for the non-NIPIAS airports that we talked about earlier, as well as NIPIAS airports that just don't have an FAA grant for a project that they feel like needs to be done. And is there a way for this body to look at those and prioritize those in future rounds?
I think that's something to discuss for future events.
Sure.
I'm really hesitant to change the criteria because these have been scored arbitrarily and then scored by each ACT representative. And if you do that, you're basically throwing out the evaluations and the scores that they've done.
That was my suggestion. That was my question. But I understand that that's how it is now. I just think for future years, and I think as people understand how to fill out the applications, their scores might get better as well, because it was a little difficult.
But there is a way, and I think that if you work with us too, we can probably get somewhere in the rules and have a presentation back to the board on how you guys would like to see that change. We can help walk you through that. Shelley had a very similar question. So I think we can help you draft what you want to see to go to the board for their consideration and maybe a possible rule change.
So, forgive my math challenges here, but I'm still struggling with our top three exceed the available funding. So, we're in the top six. How do we get two choices here? So, you picked one and two by the scores, then you just leave a bigger balance on the books until Is that where I'm going with this? Until you have enough to meet the value for the third-ranked project?
She's the money person. I'm
I just want to know what those rules are so that we can understand it, because there's no place to make a balance change, even if we wanted to put it on the score. You really can't do it in those top six.
That's correct.
Correct. So we would still want you to break or to rank them, because when it comes time to agreement, there's a lot of projects in the FAA category that are going to be, according to their application, completed within the first 6 months. But there's actually a few as well that are planning on being complete in April or May. So it could be that they are actually now complete and they don't need that money. And so we'll have enough to potentially fund that third project.
Or if someone drops out, just like it's very important that the whole, we could get a lot further than we thought.
Okay, so I'm just trying to make certain that I fully understand for everybody here. I get the ranking, that makes sense to me, but the amount of money we have, we can only fulfill one and two. If those are, by the score, those are a rank. So number three won't be funded at all unless there is additional dollars that develop in this round.
That's correct.
Assuming that's the recommendation of this group.
Thank you.
Mr. Judd, let's hear from you.
In reference just to the Sun River Airport, there's one quality on it. It's basically priority 2.1, 2.5. It actually is a NIPIUS airport, so it doesn't qualify for FAA grant funding. So I just thought I'd point that out. It puts it in an awkward situation. So they do handle up to Gulfstream category aircraft, very high use. And just to clarify, too, though, so that they won't be partially funded. So what happens if that little bit's left over, just carried over to the next year, or if it doesn't really do partial funding?
So, right now, yes, that can be another discussion for this committee. Partial funding is very hard to administer. If you look at Connect Oregon, they try to do it. It changes. If you're doing it for an economic development project, it may not work, because you may be asking a municipality to come up with a bunch of funds that they don't have, or a business partner to do the same. So partial funding for this is, for this year, impossible. For future years, I would caution that, because if you've ever been asked to take less in Connect Oregon, it's very, very difficult. Most have to go back to their city council, and it may not be in the budget to do that. So those are some things to think about as you look at considerations for future years.
Because these are economic development, they're all pretty hefty requests based on 150 maximum. I looked down at the top one in the green, this is small print. In the bottom section, it looks to me like 35,000. I mean, that's the only one that would have hope of being fully funded if number three wasn't. And it's way down there. So I'd almost say, from a credibility standpoint, it would be better to let the money roll over into the next year unless there's enough to stay in order. That's the only small one on there.
Mr. Johnson.
Well, process-wise, I guess, in the end, the Aviation Board may partially fund a project. I mean, I ran a grant program for years for a federal agency, and sometimes it's not that difficult to go back to a particular airport and say, well, you only get 3/4 of the funding you request. Can you make that adjustment in what you want to do? And sometimes they'll say, sure, no problem. We can use 3/4 of the money instead of the whole amount. You know, so I don't know that we need to wrestle with that in this group. Maybe the Aviation Board may wrestle with it when all the Priority One projects get vetted out and they know that they have an extra $200,000 or they don't have as much. They may partially fund a project in the end. I don't know that we need to wrestle with that. All we need to do is give them a prioritized list of projects. And let the pennies fall where the pennies may, towards the end of funding each project with the total dollar amount that the Aviation Board has to work with. I don't think we need to go too far down the list, though, because the probability of getting an extra $500,000 probably isn't there, right? So we may want to prioritize the top part of the top green bar, and then we don't need to go any further than that. Because it's just reality that they're...
But you're vetting the whole list, so we want you to be comfortable with the whole list.
And on the top three, it's just a little bit over the amount. If I look at it from a glass half full perspective, as Heather pointed out, some of them may come in under bid. We're probably not certain, be able to fund the top three projects and maybe go further down the list based on how the rest of the projects pencil out in terms of how they get funded. And then the more you rank down the list, we would just take them in order. So fund them as we have the money to do so,
right,
without going over the 1.7, because that's seed corn for the next generation.
When you look at the number of ties, we're talking about seven or eight decisions. So I think we ought to just make them. Shelley?
I just want to confirm, there's been so much going around. So what I've got down is our number one step that we have to do next is to break all the ties, because we have to vet this list completely.
Mm-hmm.
And then really guaranteed more or less is the top two projects. More than likely, we're $27,300 short for the Sun River project, so that probably will be funded. And if we're lucky and some of the priority one and two come in under budget or fall out, then as because we've ranked them all, we may be able to get two or three more projects.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm fairly comfortable saying that right now, I believe Sun River is going to get funded. I don't think that shortfall, I think there's enough grants that aren't going to be taking the full amount at agreement time.
I made a comment earlier on the top two in the green that are tied. Were they both in your act? That'd be Klamath Falls and Lake County?
They're in mine.
They're
Lake County.
They're both in yours. Okay. Well, I want to withdraw my comment, though. You ought to decide they're both in your act and it's your time.
Mr.
Okay, so if we do move forward with the top two, that leaves 129, approximately 129,000, correct? $123,000. What would happen to that money? Would sit there waiting for other monies then to be accumulated so that Sun River could be funded? Is that?
That's right.
Okay.
So we have to go down through this entire page and break the ties. Is that what I'm hearing?
Well, we can start, one, two, three, and upon arriving at 171 and 171 here, decide which goes over which project.
Say that again. I didn't quite.
So as you're looking at the list, right?
Six ties.
250, 223, 201, those are all going to be 1, 2, 3, so on, if that's your recommendation. It'll break the tie at the 171, so you'll say which of those two priorities is the first of the 171s. Then you'll look at the 168s, those two projects, do the same thing. 166, same thing, 158, 132, and then 111.
So what should be the criteria for breaking a tie?
It's up to you.
So that's where you may, if you wish, to look at the Oregon Administrative Rule that I gave you. It gives some additional substantive criteria that you can look at in terms of, under it says 0035 sub 6, I believe. It does provide some additional information. This information was all put on the applications, each of the applicant representing score on that. We did not include that as part of this discussion. It depends on how individuals this group wishes to go. If you want to look at those, we can look at those. But if you want to just leave it a discussion, and we can have some comments from the appropriate acts on those applications, and we can do that.
So we want you to decide how to do it. You all represent individual acts. We want you to vet how you're going to make the sausage for breaking the ties, and agree on that.
So let me make a suggestion to the group, is that it's going to be difficult by comparing grant to grants, because it's going to be apples to oranges. But I do think that we could make some choices on is how much skin in the game does the applicant have in it. It's either the percentage of their match or the dollar amount of the match. It just, to me, demonstrates that particular applicant has really rolled up their sleeves and tried to figure out how to utilize as much of their ability to match these grant requests. So,
hey, Matt, would you bring up the slide that shows the criteria, the tiering criteria for this?
That is an applicable statutory consideration. Yes.
But if we went with his suggestion, we could say, yeah, that's been great, but we think it's pretty important, and
Absolutely.
We're going to use it to split the tie.
Absolutely.
Is that a motion?
Yeah.
And, by the way, in Connect Oregon, that exact criteria is basically the determination of whether you're a Tier 1 project or a Tier 2 project.
That's
the amount of skin in the game.
So based on that consideration, I just took a quick glance at this. Based on that consideration, if this group wanted to go there, I'm going to look at these scores. So the 171s, you have one percentage of match of just over 35% and 110. In the 168s, you have one percentage of 10, one percentage of 5.
Wait a minute, that one.
The 166, you have one at 25, almost 26, and one at 10. And then 158, you have one at 57, almost 58, and then one at 10. 132, you have one at 11, one at 5, and then 111, you have 75%.
I do want to add something to note that's really important to this program, unlike Connect Oregon. Match doesn't tell the story. Your match is the smallest airport that needs it the most. So your higher matches are going to be Bern, are going to be Klamath Falls, are going to be your primary airports. So just note that as you're making, these.
So if you look at the slide that's up there, that is the breaking ties criteria that we talked about at the very beginning of the meeting today.
The amount of skin in the game isn't determined by the airport. It's determined by the category.
It's determined by the category of airport.
It's determined by the category of the airport. So I'm not certain that's the best tiebreaker. Most definitely look at safety related, but we do have a list here as a guideline.
We do. A through F.
To help us determine how to break the cut.
I will state for the record, though, this is your act rating sheet. So points have already been associated with this criteria, so you can look at that. But I will say the scores are indicative of those responses that the individual acts provided on the applications according to this criteria.
So we need to have additional criteria for this group.
You can.
For the tiebreakers.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's where it points back to the Oregon Administrative Rule that Matt talked about at 738.25.0035. That's it.
Which is what? Can you restate what that is?
Sure. So,
sorry.
And I can't remember the specific question. Let me bring it up here. So,
because there's instances and when.
So the question under OER 738.125 0035 6 A basically boils down to, and you've got this in front of you. It says first priority will be given to those projects which address airport minimum standard deficiencies listed in the Oregon Aviation Plan, and are further prioritized by ensuring geographic coverage, leveraging federal funds, considering the costs and benefits of improvements, demonstrate local support either through existence of airport zoning, available local match, maintenance commitment, show the potential for expansion both on and off the airport as defined in the applicant's current airport layout plan, support economic development, provide adequate service access to airport, environmentally impact the airport, and enhance any emergency role of that airport. So that's the first. And then it breaks into the second and the tertiary opportunity.
So how do we know which projects will address the Department of State of Deficiencies listed in the
IEP? So we do have the applications. If you want to look at those applications that do have ties, we can pull those up. And the applicant has represented their input as part of the burden of proof of the application.
You have the ACT representatives here, too, from those individual projects.
So staff has ranked these based upon those criteria, and yet we still end up with ties.
So it
directs us to the categories of the criteria, which would be more important.
That is up to you.
We see the question.
Which is more important, economic benefit to the states because of the grant application or skin in the game? They're both criteria to consider, but to break a tie, how should we weight those criteria as to importance? And that's the way that you can think.
We would be reluctant to tell you how to break the tie. Right. This is the discretion that you have as the arc of is to make this determination.
Skin in the game. Mr. Covert.
I was just looking over, and I see that Tillamook has three applications, and Arlington has one. And it looks like Tillamook will get funded on two of their applications. And it seems like I'd like to see the dollars get spread around as every airport if possible. So I don't know if we can take that into consideration or not. But it would make me feel better if it did. Instead of one airport getting three and then one getting zero, it just seems sense.
We can use that criteria if we choose.
Well, and I just want to caution, because we're talking a lot about skin in the game. And I think we're looking at two different types. I mean, there's the actual skin, because there's some smaller airports to which I belong. One, that $100,000 is like $500 to someone that has that ability, that financial ability to pay. So it may look like they only have 5% match, but that 5% they have scraped and dug and you know, broke the backs of camels to get that 5% for this grant. And we can't discount just saying they don't have the skin in the game, because they do. And they maybe have to fight harder for that. So we just have to be cognizant of that.
And again, I think it's we can't overemphasize the match percentage held a score. That score is reflected in the ultimate score.
I kind of like the philosophy of looking above the funding line and saying, this airport's had nothing, and this one's had two or three. That might break some of these ties. It takes us a little bit to look back and forth on the spreadsheet, but we could flush that through and then go back to the ones that doesn't work on.
So I think that's an interesting discussion. I'd like to maybe have a conversation with Heather and Mitch about this and see if that's something we want to...
Well, we take a lunch break, and then it may be something that's very easily fixed. It may be a statutory exercise, but I think it's a great discussion and maybe more relevant for future iterations of this committee.
If this committee wants to break a tie between two airports, you know, we could have a two-tier approach. Our first decision point will be skin in the game. The second decision point, if that one isn't comfortable to all of us, then we can go to maybe an equity issue between airports as to how many grants are given to certain airports and which airports don't get any grants. You know, that could be our second decision point. And if we need a third one to still break a tie where we're not comfortable, then we can approach it that way, right?
So I think what would benefit this process is let's break for lunch. We'll take about 10 minutes to grab lunch. And then what we could do is come back and let's have that discussion and figure out what your decision point is on how you wish. I think let's set the airports aside. Let's not be looking at this. Let's maybe look at how you want to make those recommendations, and then come to a decision and base the criteria on the actual priority if you want to look at it that way.
But you are right, and I would suggest that you have more than one decision point.
Yeah, I like your approach. I think you got to flip them, but I like the approach of having two.
And let's take 10 minutes. Lunch is over there on the other side.
After Shelley's.
Naomi, can you, in your spreadsheets, can you do a quick query to see, and we're really dealing only with the ties, but which airports have more than one grant in the whole system so that we know, because that's going to be an easy one to fix. Does this one have more than one grant or does it not? I mean, that's going to be an easy
detail. You can determine that very quickly. Yeah. If you look at the application number, if it's anything other than one, then they've got more than one application.
Last comment. I think it's very good to go through this process to determine how to break ties, but for the sake of the group and time, let you know the one that's 168, since Tillamook already has two. Tillamook, I've talked with Tillamook this morning. They would say, put the other request in front of us in the tiebreaker. So that would be the easy solution on the 168.
So the -01, -02, -03, that tells you how many grants there are?
Okay. It starts with one and goes up to as many as it can. Five.
So we made it really difficult.
So we will break for 10 minutes. I'm going to mute the phone and going back to ask
one question. You to answer as many of these questions. I know.
What?